Welcome to Kitchen Dough, the food entrepreneur show with Mary and Heather. I'm Mary Goulet.
And I'm Heather Ryder. And today we're talking about cottage food and actually the definition of what cottage food is.
Yeah, because when I first heard the phrase, I was like, is that a house where food is? What? What is it?
So technically, here's the definition. A cottage food business is a business operated by a person who produces or packages non-potentially hazardous food in a home kitchen.
Okay, so non-potentially hazardous.
So, here's where we go with this. Non-potentially hazardous food. So basically, there are in different states across the country, like here in California, there is a list of approved cottage foods that you are allowed to make. And those foods are foods that basically won't make someone sick.
Okay.
Cookies, cakes, candies, jams, jellies, you know, like certain things that you
those
can...
Those are okay.
Nuts, you know, like different things that you can approve. So you have to take a look at whatever state you're in and make sure your cottage food laws, which we're going to talk about in an upcoming episode, how to do that. But look at your different states and basically make sure that your whatever you want to make in a home kitchen, if you're thinking about starting a cottage food business, is in line with whatever the approved cottage food list is for your state. Some states you can really do whatever you want, like Wyoming. It's a wild west of cottage food in Wyoming.
So funny. So California, I'm guessing, is probably fairly regulated.
Yes. Yes. But California is kind of leading the way in a lot of different things. There's a new law that they're just working on in they just passed that actually makes cottage food. You can, instead of just having the approved cottage food, you can actually make whole meals for people from your home kitchen. And they're starting to, I think we have an interview with Matt Jorgensen about that. And so expanding the cottage food laws so that you can actually, if you're a mom who is really good at making dinner and looking for a way to make extra money, you can maybe then take a look at micro-enterprise kitchens and turn your kitchen into a micro-enterprise kitchen and make food for families in your neighborhood. So let's say you have some moms that work outside the home but need a little help with dinner, and you're a mom that stays at home, loves to cook dinner, but looking for a way to make some extra money, maybe that's a way to supplement an income. Or all different kinds of
So you basically want to keep it pretty much on a small scale. I mean, it's not a huge operation, but you do need to have certain things in your kitchen that are just for creating, prepping something.
Yes. So cottage food doesn't mean, just because a state passes a cottage food law, that doesn't mean that all of a sudden you can be open for business. You still have to get licensed. You still have to have your kitchen inspected. And again, every state is different. And then within every state is a county that regulates, like the counties regulate in California. So you have to go to the San Diego County Health Department to get a cottage food permit. Does that make sense?
Yes. And is it difficult to qualify?
I think that you just have to make sure that you follow
the rules.
All the rules, right? Yeah.
Well, and I know we'll be putting out links to people's states that they live in that they can start the process. Do you start at the top down?
Yeah, I think you start looking at what your state allows. And the other thing about cottage food also is it's direct to consumer. So basically, you can't be a cottage in California. You can't be a cottage food operator and then sell to a store that then goes, turns around and sells. You have to sell direct to consumer.
Okay.
So you have to go through like farmers markets, and not all farmers markets allow cottage food operators. Some farmers markets don't allow cottage food operations.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a lot of different things to consider. There's a lot of different ways to sell your cottage food. But basically what I think is for cottage food, and this is my opinion, but what I think is good about cottage food, it gives you an opportunity to at least start somewhere affordably and gives you a little bit of runway to test your product.
Test the recipe, test the process of how you do it.
Test if you want to do this.
Yeah, that's true. Partway through, you might say, this is for the birds.
Well, you know, and seriously, because sometimes people love baking, but they love baking because they're giving it away.
Right.
Not selling it. You know, so becoming a salesperson is a lot different than giving away your cookies at Christmas.
And it's awkward if you've been making the Christmas cookies and packaging them and giving them to clients or family and friends and neighbors. And then you say, well, that'll be $12.
Yes.
You know, the transition, you lost your core audience. You still have to bake for them.
Well, and I think it's great also that if somebody says they love your cookies, okay, let's say I make you a batch of cookies and you say, oh my gosh, I love your cookies. You should sell those. My response then should be, okay, how much are you willing to give me?
Yes.
So when friends and family say you should be,
right,
you say, okay then.
Show me how much money you're giving
me. Show me the money.
Exactly. Well, and this is, you've been researching this for like 4 years.
Yeah, seems like a long time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Have you noticed it trending as a movement or kind of stabilizing, or is there no real research on that?
I think definitely trending as a movement, because in just the last several years that I've been looking at this, so many states have enacted or have improved their cottage food laws. So there were a whole host of states that didn't even have cottage food laws on the books, and now every state except for New Jersey has a cottage food law on the books.
They don't want to sell their manicotti?
Right? What I think is just so, what I think is when you see 10, 15, 20 states improving or enacting new laws, that's a movement. And I think it's because, I mean, to get 20 state legislatures to get one state legislature to enact or to make a move,
right,
then all of a sudden you see, like I said, 10, 15, 20 state legislatures.
So why do you think that is? Is there just one person lobbying really hard to get them to hear about it, learn about it, and back it? Or what's the reason why they've all flooded in like that?
I honestly think it is people demanding it. And I do think, you know, in recent years we've seen this whole push toward more farmers markets, more
that
fresh produce.
I've noticed.
Right?
Yes. And farmers market, you know, I almost think of like Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
They would always have them because the farms, the rural areas, and they bring their wares and sell them. But when we have how many in San Diego County alone?
Right.
There's a ton of them.
And cities with their farmers markets. Santa Monica has a beautiful farmers market every Saturday. New York City, I mean, all these different big city urban areas are pushing. There's a push toward more fresh, locally produced.
And that kind of makes sense with the culture of we want to support our local communities.
Yes.
And the other thing that I've noticed, the community gardens,
mm-hmm,
that are popping up. I mean, we have one in Encinitas that I've noticed. Richard's been involved with another co-host of mine on another show. He's been involved in one in the South Park area. And he was telling a story that one person wasn't tending their garden, and whatever was happening to the other people's crops,
right,
if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I think that it's really gone grassroots to state capitals.
Well, and it's that pendulum. Talking about the community gardens, they just launched a huge rooftop, beautiful community garden downtown Paris.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So I think what has happened, and again, it's an opinion, but you see like this pendulum swing. So we went from the olden days when grandma and parents or people used to be in the kitchen and they used to prepare foods and everyone used to eat at home. And then we had this big swing toward commercialized, everybody ate out. We had in the 50s, you saw the TV dinners popping up. They were these fast.
That's so funny. You're
fast,
right.
Solutions for meals.
Yeah.
You know, that was easy to prepare, quick, processed. And now we're coming back. People don't want so much processed food. And when you look at like a cottage food cookie compared to like a processed packaged cookie.
Oh,
there's no,
no comparison.
Comparison.
Yeah, we said it. I remember my grandma baked every week. She baked rhubarb pie, different cookies, all sorts of stuff. She was always in the kitchen baking.
And there was a time Steve's grandmother used to sell her pies. That's how she made extra money for the family. They lived up in Northern California in the foothills of the Sierras. And she baked pies and sold her pies. And then all of a sudden, those opportunities were taken away from people because we swung to big processed pies that you could get in the frozen food aisle.
Yes.
And now people are coming back.
Marie Callender ruined stuff.
Well, they did make good pies. But you know what I mean? Like, and then we're coming back to real food made by real people, small artisans, small batch. We see a lot of that. And so that small batch is really made by hands by somebody. And so the natural progression is these cottage food laws that are being enacted or improved.
Yeah, and that's fair. And it also is perfectly timed with the entrepreneur side hustle, economic gig, the gig economy that's really been taking off lately. So it just goes hand in hand. People want to make a couple extra bucks a month.
And it's going to be a big thing. They say actually that the this industry could be hit $20 billion by 2019. Yep. So we're going to be taking a look at cottage food laws and how you can check with your states coming up next.